This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Have another interview lined up at the moment, another call.
One of my favourite times of the year. I love this.
Okay, well, David, on the line we have Fleur Watson, and she is going to talk to us about the Melbourne Open House.
Oh, now let's give her title, because it's her title's awesome.
Okay, yes, excuse me. So, Fleur Watson, Executive Director and Chief Curator at the Centre for Architecture Victoria. That is... quite a title. Well deserved.
Hello.
Thanks for coming on, Fleur.
Good to be with you, David and Eve. It is quite a mouthful.
It certainly is, but yeah, like that's why I said, you know, we've got to say the whole thing. It's so cool. So cool. Now, is this right? This is your first year of heading up Open House?
It is indeed, David. I, of course, am a long-time fan of Open House.
Yep.
And certainly in my previous roles, I've had lots to do with Open House Melbourne, but this is my first year as ED in the role and working with the team.
So, right. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Great team.
Well, tell us a bit of, give us your background. You know, like how have you been able to slot into this very important role? You know, so what's your background?
Well, I'm a curator, and I have really spent the past kind of 20 years, I guess, working in that cultural realm around exhibiting, curating, and doing public programs specifically about architecture and design and the built environment. So I curated for the past 7 years or so with my colleagues, the Design Hub program at RMIT there, and that amazing Sean Godsall building. So that's been a really significant cultural contributor into design and architecture into the city and more broadly around Australia. And began my kind of career as a magazine editor of Monument magazine, which some of you might remember.
I certainly do. I used to buy it every... Was it quarterly? It was quarterly, wasn't it?
It was bi-monthly.
Bi-monthly, right. Yep. Okay.
Yeah. And that was a really incredible time, actually, for magazine publishing in Australia, but particularly around architecture. And we had some years there where we were publishing Australian projects, but really mixed in with international projects. And it had a wide reach and really good distribution. So it was an influential magazine in
its
day.
Fleur, the sad thing is that like magazines have pretty much all disappeared apart from the trashy ones. But it's something like Monument could easily be an online now. Is there talk of that, or is there something similar, or what's the go there?
Well, not Monument itself, but I think there is actually a lot of online publications which are doing really fantastic work across both print and online. We actually, for Open House this year, have partnered with Assemble Papers, for example, and we're doing a special issue around the future of work, but also our theme, Reconnect, which is our theme for Open House this year. And that is a journal and a publication that's free in print, but also has a really strong layered editorial online, which means that it can shift and change and respond.
Yep.
So those kind of publications, I think, have moved with the times, I guess, and can be really responsive and still offer a really critical voice, which is really important in these current times.
Yeah, and there used to be a catalogue. Is there still a catalogue for Open House?
for Open House Melbourne. We're not doing a printed catalogue per se anymore, but we have produced a really beautiful map, which has been designed with Studio Pain, and again will be inserted into that issue of Assemble Papers.
Oh, okay, yep.
And the map does is a kind of new way of us thinking about the Open House weekend, which is obviously a time where everyone comes together when they can and can experience the city, but also how that map can be used throughout the year so that it has a life beyond the
weekend. That's a good idea. I bet you that was your idea. Well, that was your idea because you're like you're really clever.
So, I think it was a collective effort.
Right. Okay. So, Fleur, tell people if they don't know what you know, like if they've been living under a rock, what is Open House Melbourne?
Well, Open House Melbourne is an independent organisation. We're a not-for-profit. We really are. A grassroots organisation that is part of a worldwide network.
Yep.
Open House itself started in London and now there's a network of cities within the Open House, well, network as such, but also community around the world, where really the aim of the game, so to speak, is to offer a very generous, open-spirited way for people to come together where we can advocate for good design in the built environment. And I guess more recently, particularly with Open House Melbourne, we are now looking to extend our programs through the Centre for Architecture Victoria across the year so that we can really start to think about the future of our cities, how our built environment also connects with our natural environment and how we start to kind of think about what kind of spaces and places and experiences we want in our cities and suburbs and our regional centres.
Mm.
That's really important too, to think Victoria-wide.
Yeah, because a lot of people, Fleur, you know, like sort of bitch a lot to me because I'm an architectural freak. I just love architecture. And I love high-rise. I don't have a problem with high-rise at all. But a lot of people bitch a lot to me about, oh, but it looks, you know, like it doesn't look all that good. You know, like the developer just threw anything up and all that. But when you look at Melbourne, there is the skyline, there is a lot of really interesting stuff going on, isn't there?
There is. And I think that's really important that we do recognise that there are a lot of buildings that do go up that are not of great value and are not of great quality. And why is that? What are the kind of systems and forces that shape that? So I guess from our perspective at Open House Melbourne, we're really interested in making sure that it's a place where people can feel very much part of the conversation and can understand why good design is really important in all of those conversations about our built environment, and that perhaps instead of thinking about buildings as singular things, we need to think about our built environment as a connected whole.
Yep.
That means not only the buildings, but the spaces in between.
Absolutely.
Our public spaces.
Yep.
And I think we're more, you know, particularly after our experiences and our experiences even right now, we're more aware than ever of the importance of generous spaces and public spaces to come together and why they should be safe and accessible, as well as well-designed and cared for, and how we, I guess I always like to think that we shape our built environment as much as it shapes us.
Yep.
And that's why it's really important to have that conversation.
And there's a couple of buildings that have just gone up in recent years and who really stand out for me in Melbourne. One is on the corner of Bourke Street and across the road from the railway station. I can't remember the name of the street. Southern Cross Station on what's that road that it's Southern Cross Station's on?
Spencer
Street.
On Spencer Street?
Yeah, Spencer Street. A corner of Spencer and Bourke Street. that one that's sort of the shape of, you know, like it goes in and out. It's a very powerful shape, isn't it? Do you know the one?
I'm trying to think of exactly which building you might be referring to, but there is certainly a number of buildings that have gone up in the city recently, which have a very strong architectural gesture, I guess.
Yep.
Things like Collins Arch, for example, which
yes.
was Bagot and Shop.
Yep.
Then heritage buildings like Aldersleet, which have had a kind of contemporary conversion by Grimshaw Architects. So we're starting to see that sense of how we think about heritage as well in our city, and how we think about living heritage, and also how we think about adaptive reuse. So one of the buildings that's part of our program this year, and we'd like to do continued programming with, is something like the Broadmeadows Town Hall, for example, which is outside of the city into the suburbs,
yep.
but which is a really important civic place and has had an incredible adaptive reuse kind of extension by Kirsten Thompson Architects, which is really sensitive to the history of that building.
Mm.
And one
building, and we're sitting in it right as we speak, is on Fitzroy Street down in St Kilda, the Victorian Pride Centre, which is part of this year's Open House Melbourne. So, you know, like, have you seen the building yet? Have you been inside?
I have. I've been walking past the building now for some time, watching it emerge, and I'm so thrilled that we will have the building not only as part of our program, but we'll also have Justine Della Riva,
yep.
And also Brearley Architecture, James Brearley, at our opening event, This is Public, that will be live streamed on Friday the 23rd, and they'll be talking about the making of the Pride Centre and
yep.
kind of the ideas behind not only the architecture but the brief and how the community have shaped that building. And I think that's a really good story and perhaps illustrates what I was speaking to before, that people shape these projects
yep.
and when that comes together, it results in a really important place and contribution for the city.
And so are you a St Kilda person, or do you live in the
I'm
neck
not
of the woods?
A St Kilda person, but I live not far by. I'm definitely in the city of Port Phillip.
Right, okay.
And so I'm within a kind of extended walking, not
oh, right.
in my 5K.
Right,
put it that
oh,
way.
Oh, okay. Because I live at the back of the building. My street, I walk out of my apartment block, and right across the road is the back of the Pride Centre. So that's how close I am. When I have to come to Joy, I walk across the road. So that life is tough for me.
Very much in your neighbourhood.
Yes.
Well, it is. I mean, it's such a, obviously, as a piece of architecture and as a kind of community space, it is already looking just so incredible and rich and full of life. But also the way it presents to the street, and then kind of how you go through it and see the depth of that. Of that building, it's actually enormous. It's
yeah.
an extraordinary
yeah.
work by Grant Amon yeah. and James Brearley.
Oh, and when you're inside, it is just beautiful. The stairwell is just, yeah, that takes your breath away every time you see it. It's very, very beautiful. Now, it's all happening next week, but unfortunately with COVID, we don't know where we stand, and you guys haven't really worked out yet. It's obviously going to be a big week for you this week, working out how we're going to view some of these buildings.
That's right. Well, of course, I was supposed to be there with you today
yes.
in person and couldn't be. We have actually announced that we will be moving the majority of our program to online.
Oh, that's a shame.
That it is a shame. We are really excited that we can, I guess, to use that much used word, pivot to a digital program and
yeah.
still go ahead so quickly. We will absolutely be working with all of our program partners to still go ahead with tours as soon as we possibly can.
Yeah.
We're obviously, we'll have to respond to that as we can and we know more from the Victorian government. But there will be lots to offer online. As I said, this is public, which will have a number of speakers talking about the future of the city from different perspectives, including the Pride Centre, including a number of talks around things such as designing on country, so thinking about design as an act of reconciliation,
yep.
As well as various other projects such as XYX Lab, looking at spaces for safety for women, but also diversity. So there's a number of things on offer through that live stream on the 23rd. We'll be doing programs again, such as Designing on Country on Saturday. We'll be doing the Heritage Address, again live streamed on Tuesday, and absolutely looking at when we can engage people through building tours at a later date as soon as restrictions are open.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Beyond that, there's also a number of VR tours. So you can still tour through the spaces from your own bedroom, wherever you are. So there's some really fantastic opportunities for that.
Okay. And what's the website for people to find out more?
It's openhousemelbourne.org. And all of our website will be continually updated. So please log on to our website, but also our social media platforms will be constantly updated as we're able to release more information over the days to come.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for chatting us today. And it's a shame that you aren't here in person, but hey, it's a different world that we're living in.
It is, isn't it? We're well used to it by now terms of being able to respond. So thanks. It's been so great to talk to you.
Okay. See ya.
Thanks, David. Bye.
Thanks. You've been listening to Fleur Watson, who is the Executive Director and Chief Curator, even, for the Centre of Architecture Victoria, about Open House Melbourne. This is Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.